All right, you ready to get to the good stuff this morning? Let's get to the Word of God. All right, let's see what God wants to say to us. Would you stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read John chapter 4, and we'll read 1 through 6, and then we will jump down and start and read verse 31. So John chapter 4, we'll start with verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. Just kind of put a check or a little asterisk by that, because we'll get back to that. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now jump down to verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Let's pray. Father, our prayer is that you would give us eyes to see, that the harvest is ripe. Help us to see those around us, Lord, that we can share your love and your truth. Help us, Father, to sow and reap and sow, Lord, to scatter the seed, to sow your word. Lord, to live it out, to share your faith, to go, Lord, to love and to gather, that we would help build your kingdom. Speak to us this morning. Help us to see you, God, in a way that we haven't seen you yet. And may we be changed today. Help me, Lord, to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there's strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth. And I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray and in his name that I preach. Amen. We will start here in John chapter 4, verse 7. We have another face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Last week we discussed the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, and now we have another. And it says, I had you kind of asterisk or put a highlight the verse. It says, and he had to pass through Samaria. He had to pass through Samaria. And the question is this, did he really have to pass through Samaria to get to Galilee? And the answer is no. Most Jews would not have passed through Samaria. There was a dislike between the Jews and the Samaritans. When Israel split into two tribes, there was the northern tribe, there was a southern tribe, and the northern tribe was conquered by Assyria. And when they came in, they planted all types of people groups in that region, and they began to adopt pagan philosophies, pagan religions. And so the Jews of the north, they began to marry between other pagan groups, and they adopted and abandoned their just true worship to God. And so they were looked at by the Jews who stayed pure to their faith as half-breeds, that they weren't pure. They were unholy. The southern tribe also was attacked, and Babylonia attacked them, and there was a rebuilding of the temple and of the wall when the wall was being rebuilt, remember, in Nehemiah. And there were some Samaritans who came and said, we want to help you. And the southern kingdom said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need your help. And so that had a really good dislike. So most Jews would never travel through Samaria. They would go around Samaria up to Galilee. So geographically, he didn't have to go through Samaria. But there was a reason why he had to go through Samaria. There is a greater reason than the route that Jesus had to go through Samaria. There was a lady that he was going to encounter that she didn't know that day that her life was going to change, but there was a lady that Jesus knew at just the right time on this exact day, at this exact hour, I will sit by a well and I will encounter a lady who needs the living water and her life's going to be forever changed. So he had to go through Samaria. There was a divine appointment. And I tell you this morning, you're not here by an accident. I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in the providence of God. And I believe that he has his hand upon us. And I believe there's a reason why you're here today. For those of us who know him, it's to hear a word of encouragement so that we can live greater for him. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, today he came to sit by you and to speak to you and invite you to come and drink. We're here in John chapter 4, we're in verse 7. It says, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. This lady came at the sixth hour. This was at the heat of the day. This is not normally when the women would go to draw the water. The women would go together in groups, and they would go early in the morning or late in the evening so that they wouldn't have to deal with the heat of the sun. And they would go and they would draw the water, and they'd get enough water for them to drink, to wash, to bathe in, and they would be good for the day. This lady came at the heat of the day, and there's a reason for that. She was scorned by the other ladies in the community. She was not well thought of. She had a promiscuous lifestyle, and she was not well thought of in the community. And so she would rather face the heat of the sun rather than the heat of the scorn of those around her. And so to avoid that, she would go by herself in the heat of the day to draw the water. I wonder how weary this lady was. Because life's wearisome, isn't it? I mean, just, you know, you think, you get up on Monday and you think, oh, here we go again. You know, it's another, here we go. Going to go through. And when you have a wearisome life with no hope, it's even worse. This lady gets up. She knows that she's going to go once again in the heat of the day. She has nobody to go with her. She is shunned. She's lonely. She's going from relationship to relationship, trying to find peace, trying to find something, and it's not bringing satisfaction. And so Jesus is at the well. He's already sitting at the well, and he says to the lady, give me a drink. Well, the woman, the response then is in verse 9, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. He broke all cultural barriers here. For a male to speak to a woman was one. For a Jewish male to speak to a Samaritan woman was, whoa, you don't do that. To ask to drink from a cup that a Samaritan had, okay, you went too far. Because a Jew would not use any utensil, any cup, any drinking that a Samaritan would use that would be considered unclean. And so she's really taken back by this, and she's like, you know, why are you talking to me? This is odd. I'm a Samaritan woman. And his response is, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He says, if you only knew, if you only knew. Her eyes were blind. She didn't know who she was speaking to at this time. The first time that we encounter a conversation at a well is back in Genesis when Abraham and Sarah, Abraham's promised that he's going to be the father of many nations and that God's going to make his name great. But there was one problem. Sarah's barren and they can't have children. So Sarah comes up with a plan outside of God's will and says, why don't you have my maidservant Hagar? And that's how we're going to have our child. And so so Hagar gets pregnant, and she starts kind of taunting that around Sarah, and she doesn't like it, and she's like, you got to go. You're not staying around here. And she runs her off, and Hagar flees Sarah, and she's weeping, and she's crying, and she comes to a well. She's at a well. And the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared to her. The angel of the Lord. Now, many times in the Old Testament, when it speaks of the angel of the Lord, it is speaking of an Old Testament appearance of Christ. I believe this is such a case. I believe Jesus shows up and speaks to this woman at a well who is crying, who doesn't know what's going on, and he asks her what's wrong. And she tells a story, and he says, you go back to Sarah, you submit to her authority, this baby that you have, he will be blessed. And she names the well the God who sees, because he saw her pain. You see, Jesus knows our struggles. He sees the weariness that we go through every day. She has the child, Ishmael. Sarah ends up having a child, Isaac. And they have like this conflict. And one day, Ishmael's being pestering and being mean to Isaac. And so Sarah runs her off. Says they're not staying here among us. So Abraham, they pack their stuff, and he sends them on their way. And once again, she's in a desert land, and she's weary, and they've ran out of water. They have nothing left, and she feels like they're going to die. So she has Ishmael go over away from her because she doesn't want to see him die. And she goes over, and Ishmael begins crying out, and the angel of the Lord appears, and he hears. And it says something amazing. It says that the angel of the Lord opens up Hagar's eyes, and she sees the well, and she draws water, and they live. You see, here's the thing. When we are in our lost condition, we can't see Jesus for who he is. We can't see. We're blind. We need our eyes opened by the Lord. And so those of us who know Christ, and those of us who have tasted and we've drank from the wells of salvation, we realize where our strength and hope comes from and where our satisfaction comes from. And so that's why when we see our friends and our neighbors and the people that we work with that don't know Jesus, and they're out there coming again and again at this well and that well and drinking from this and this, we say, they're searching for Jesus. They don't know they're searching for Jesus, but they are. Because they're trying all kinds of drinks from the water of this world, and nothing ever satisfies. And many of us, we've tried the world's water in many different forms, right? And you realize that doesn't work. But there is a water that satisfies. And his name is who? Jesus. And he says, if you only knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for some living water. Well, verse 11, she says to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Right? This kind of reminds you of Nicodemus. Remember when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, and he was trying to use natural things to talk about spiritual stuff, and Nicodemus didn't get it? Born again? What do you mean born again? She's like, living water. She's like, well, you don't even have something to draw from. How are you going to get this living water? I don't get it. Let's look at his response. Verse 12. We're not done with hers. Here we go. Where do you get this living water? Look at verse 12. You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? You're not greater than Jacob, right? I mean, Abraham and Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. He gave the well to Joseph. This was a monumental well. I mean, this was an iconic well. This was a well that had served the purpose for 2,000 years. This was Jacob's well. I mean, you don't think you're greater than Jacob, do you? Living water. I can just imagine Jesus kind of chuckling at this moment, can't you? You don't think you're greater than Jacob, are you? Jacob. Because what she didn't realize is that the very one that she was speaking to was the God of Jacob. She didn't realize that this man she was talking to was the eternal God, the Word that was in the beginning and the Word that was made flesh, that she was encountering someone much greater than Jacob, the very God who formed Jacob and ordained Jacob and called Jacob. Jesus is speaking to this woman. And she's missing it. Have you ever just missed it? Jesus speaking and you miss it. You don't hear his voice. She's missing this encounter. Jesus says in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again." In essence, it's as if Jesus is saying, I'm just going to go out on a hunch here. I would say, ma'am, that this isn't the first time you've been back to this well for water, right? I mean, this is something that you have to go to again and again. Everyone who drinks of this water, of Jacob's well, you're going to get thirsty again. Isn't that true? When we drink from the world's water, it doesn't satisfy, right? When you drink with what the world offers, it doesn't bring eternal refreshment. You can go to it again and again and again and again. And how many times did this lady go back to the well? One more day. One more day. I got to go back again. I got to go back again. How many of you this morning are out there saying, and you're going back to that same well, and you're going one more time, just one more time, just one more time. And every time you go back, it doesn't satisfy. Every time you go back to the world's well, it doesn't satisfy. One more, just one more time. How many of y'all ready to be done with the one more times? And drink from the living water and be eternally satisfied. Because if you drink from this well, Jacob's well, you'll thirst again. You drink from the law, you'll thirst again. For Jesus came to fulfill the law. I'm the living water. Grace and truth was revealed through who? Jesus. Encounter him. You come back to this well, you'll thirst again. Look at verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. He alone brings eternal hope. This world doesn't. This world doesn't bring it. Jesus brings it. He brings the wellspring of life. And the woman responds and says to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." She still kind of misses it, right? Because she's thinking of a physical water that she'll be able to drink and that she'll never have to drink physical water again. "Oh, give me this water so that I don't have to come back to this well again." Now watch what Jesus does. This is where he hones in at her soul. Jesus then says, "Go call your husband and come here." Now we got to ask ourselves, why did he ask this? Was it that Jesus wanted to meet her husband? I don't think so. Jesus was asking this question to pierce her very soul and her heart, to bring about conviction. How many of you are thankful for conviction? Do you realize that most people are brought into the kingdom of God not by reason, but through conviction? Not through the mind, but through the heart. That there's a breaking, that there is something wrong in my life, and I keep trying to put a facade up that there's really nothing wrong, and that I'm trying to make myself well, and I'm trying to quench my own thirst. There has to be a breaking, and so Jesus, right now, he's breaking into the very heart of this lady by asking this question: go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Deflection. Front. Oh, I don't have a husband. Denial. Avoidance. Problem. I don't have a problem. Jesus. I don't need Jesus. Being saved? Oh, I'm a member of a church. I don't need to be saved. Repent? What's that? I'm okay. Husband? I don't have a husband. And Jesus says to her, you have correctly said I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. Boom. Oh. Oh. You're a God who sees. You're a God who sees. You see what's going on in me. I can't put the facade up in front of you. I can't wear the mask in front of you, because you see through the mask. Mm. Are you trying to put up a front? Are you trying to put a mask up and say, problems? I don't have any problems. A savior? I don't need a savior. What is it are you using to try to deflect the wooing of the Holy Spirit? I encourage you this morning to allow him to have his work in your heart, and do not deflect, because he says, you're right in that you say that. Hey, you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. So you're on your sixth man. Sixth is the number of man. And what you really need to step into is that seventh, that you need me. Jesus is going to be the one that she needs to complete her life. There ain't no man that's going to make her life happy. She's going from one man to the next man to the next man to the next this to the next that. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. Well, if I can just get this, then if I can just have that, then my life will be happy. There's no one or nothing that will make your life eternally satisfied other than Jesus. That's it. Quit drinking from the world's well and come to Jesus and let him satisfy your soul. Well, she does another good trick, and that is get into a theological discussion. The woman says, I perceive you're a prophet. You must be some holy man. You must have some abilities that most people don't have. You must be able to see what's going on that most people can't. So since you're a prophet, our fathers, they worshiped in this mountain. But you people say that we should worship, that you should worship God in Jerusalem. That this is the place where you ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming and now is, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Why? Because look at what Jesus says and explains in verse 22. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Spirit and truth. With our head and our heart, with our whole being, do you realize that our Christian faith, it is an emotional thing. It's an intellectual thing, but it's also an emotional thing. It is with our innermost being. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. With everything about you, your whole being, you ought to worship and love God. From your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, Jesus says. Your whole heart ought to be worshiping him. Do you love to worship him? Are you thankful for his grace? And are you grounded in truth that we worship a God that is the Father who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, and that he took our sin on the cross and he rose again on the third day, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in the hearts of his children, and he seals us until the day of redemption, until we meet him face to face in glory. Man, what in the world is better than that? Worship God with your whole being, with your whole heart. That's what God desires. True worshipers that are devoted to him. Verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, and he who is called Christ, when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Life change moment. I who speak to you am he. He opens her eyes. I think it's interesting that Jesus is so clear and that he comes out, because he hadn't been this clear yet at this point of saying that I am he. And he lets this lady know, yes, I am the Christ. And her life is forever changed that day. Her eyes were opened. I'm glad that we serve a God who comes right down in the midst of our mess. Right? And he sits at a well. He comes down and he just sits there. And he comes to us and he says, give me a drink. Because he knows that he's going to do something great in your life. And he doesn't care who he goes to. You can be the high Sanhedrin court Nicodemus and he'll talk to you. You can be the lady that has had five different husbands, failed relationship after failed relationship, everybody talking about in the community, and he'll come and sit by you. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't profile people? Amen. Huh? Aren't you glad Jesus isn't just for the powerful, but he's for the powerless? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come for the rich, but he came for the poor as well? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't come just for the educated, but for the uneducated? Church, we must be a church that always has and always will invite and welcome all people to the kingdom of God. Amen. We don't have a target group. We're trying to reach this certain type of people. If you've got a pulse, you're welcome to come. I don't care where you come from. I don't care where you've been, what baggage you bring with you, how beat up you are, how depressed, how stressed, how ugly and messy your life may be. Jesus comes to the well and invites you to drink. Will you drink? Go back to the well day after day after day, drinking from the same water. You'll thirst again. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, man, today would be a great day to come and drink. To come and drink from the well of salvation and say, Jesus, man, I've made a mess of my life. I'm beat up. I need you. Or maybe you come like Nicodemus and you say, man, I'm a very powerful businessman, scholarly person, and well-educated, but I realize that will not save me either. I need to be born again. Let him speak. Well, this lady, she had an encounter with Jesus, and guess what happened? Her life changed. How do we know her life changed? Because she runs back to the city. All the people that talked about her, all the people that put bad posts on her on Facebook, you know, and went to topics and started griping, talking about how awful she was and how ugly she was and how much of a tramp she was and how there was no hope and that she would just be better if she got out of this community. She goes back to those same people that's been talking about her and bad-mouthing her, and she runs and she says, come meet a guy that he knows everything about me. Is he the Christ? Come meet somebody that I met that knows me. He sees me. He's the God who sees. And he's the God who hears. And he's the God who saves. And they come running and they meet Jesus. He stays there 2 days and they're like, and they come to know Christ. And they're like, now we believe, not just because you say so, but because we've encountered him. She didn't have a theological degree. You'd have to have a lot of alphabets behind your name to be used by God. You just have to have a genuine conversion experience that has so changed your heart that you're willing to go back to the people and say, I've met somebody, he's changed my life. I just got to be faithful. And he can use any person in this building today. If he can use that lady to change a community, he can use you. He can use you to change the environment at your workplace. He can use you to win some neighbors. He can use you to make an impact in your family. Will you just drink from him? Those of us who know him, man, will we run and just share his love with people? Will we allow this refreshing water to just flow out of us and impact other people around us? What Samaria do you need to go to? Just to sit down and talk by someone, talk to someone, and hear them. And not judge them. And not put them down, but to impart life. If you're thirsty, this would be a good day to come. Some of you may need to rededicate, recommit, because you've lost focus of what it really is about. And you've forgotten about that woman at the well. That is lost, hopeless, and in much need of a Savior. And you need to get your priorities back in line and allow him to use you the way that he desires to use you for his kingdom and others' good. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we have an opportunity to come at the well and drink from you. That you are the living water that brings salvation to our dying souls. Father, if there be someone today, Lord, they're thirsty, they're weary. Maybe they just feel like giving up. Would you speak to them today? Would you see them today? Would you hear their cry? And would you speak to them? Father, for those of us who know you, may our eyes never grow dark or dim of those who are hurting around us. And Lord, may we be people who bring life and bring your gospel to others so that they may receive the refreshing, healing water. And may we worship you with all of our being. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come.